I am blessed today to be a part of the Louisville Seminary community. This seminary is one that is courageously leading and living into the future, Dean. I must say, as I read the website, your commitment and covenant for the future is commendable. I'm grateful to the leadership of my dear friend and colleague, Reverend Dr. Felicia LaBoy, and to the 2016 Black Church Studies Consultation. If I wasn't going to preach, I think I will now because of her introduction. Amen. Amen. Good to see my colleagues, Keturah and other United Methodist brothers and sisters, my sisters here with me. And again, I'm just blessed to be here on today. Our theme for this consultation is New Wine, New Wineskins, Black Church Planting and Renewal. I must be honest, though, today we are embarking upon a courageous conversation about Black church planting and Black church renewal. Because in some settings, we want to talk about either one or the other. There are other places that will highlight one and absolutely disregard the other. So I am fortunate to be a part of this conversation where we're talking about both Black church planting and Black church renewal. Our scripture for this sermonic discourse comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 5, verses 36 through 39. If it is your tradition to stand, I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the scripture, "Hear now the word of the Lord." Then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine in old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. Somebody say new wineskins. And both are preserved. Somebody say preserved. This is a Black church consultation. I don't hear nobody. Amen. So let's go ahead and talk to our neighbor and get acquainted with our neighbor for this sermonic discourse. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. No one having drunk old wine immediately desires the new, for he says the old is better. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me if you would, and pray for me. God, we're grateful for this opportunity to come and share your word. I decrease that you might increase even the more. Bless now your people. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. There's a title for this short sermonic discourse. It would simply be "The Black Church Preserving and Pioneering." All three synoptic gospels record Jesus' parable of the wine and the wineskins. Scholars agree that the Gospel of Mark recorded it first and simply stated that no one puts new wine in old wineskins. Why? Because new wine is spilled, the wineskins are ruined. Mark simply says that new wine must be put into new wineskins. But Luke takes this parable in a different direction, and actually Bishop creates a debate that scholars have been talking about thousands of years later. Dr. LaBoy, Luke actually complicates this parable by offering a rationale that new wine must be placed into new wineskins. Luke adds this, that when new wine is placed into new wineskins, both are preserved. More fuel is added to this theological fire when Luke concludes that no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new wine, for he says the old is better. Now, I want to zoom in for a moment on Luke's proposition when he says new wine must be put into new wineskins and both are preserved. That word "preserved" in the Greek, I'm at a seminary, right, is synterio, which means to keep closely together, to watch or guard. That word "preserved" means to keep an eye upon. And I believe God's been keeping God's eye on the black church for a long time, community. I believe that God has not only been keeping God's eye and preserving the black church for a long time, and that's what we want to talk about for a moment today. See, the black church has its roots on the continent of Africa and the Middle Passage. God's been keeping God's eye and preserving the black church as an institution, providing structure and meaning for African people who have struggled to survive the ravages and brutality of slavery and racial oppression. God's been keeping God's eye on this black church and preserving it, says C. Eric Lincoln, for he says that black people, for the black church was their school. It was their forum. It was their political arena. I don't hear nobody. It was their social club, their art gallery. It was their conservatory of music. It was in that spirit that the black church functioned as the center of black church life. It functioned as the place where culture gathered, heritage for much people, and the history of the African-American experience in North America. God's been keeping God's eye on this black church. Amen. God's been preserving this black church for a long time. See, the black church sheltered black people until slavery ended. The black church cultured black people through the Renaissance period. I don't hear nobody. The black church comforted black people through Jim Crow segregation. The black church educated black people through separate but unequal schools. The black church strengthened black people to fight for civil rights and equal rights. The black church then empowered black people to stand up, to sit in, to speak up, to resist temptation, to fight and to pray. The black church reminded us that we shall overcome someday. God's been keeping God's eye on this black church. God's been preserving this black church. For it was the black church that taught us to sing, God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us thus far on the way, thou who has by thy might brought us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. How many can testify that God's been keeping God's eye on this black church? I don't hear nobody. How many can testify that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be? God's been preserving this here black church. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. I know that God's eye is on the sparrow, and God's been keeping God's eye, preserving this here black church. If God keeps God's eye on the sparrow, I know God watches over me. This fight continues, and so must this sermon. With the passing of the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, and the laws that ended housing discrimination, Dr. Poe, new educational opportunities started opening up for the black church. In the 60s and the 70s, God opened up opportunities for the black church not only to be preserved, but also, Cliff, to pioneer. Black people could now move and live wherever they wanted to, homes, neighborhoods of their choosing. The black community in the 70s no longer required to exist in a defined boundary in every city, USA. Black folks started moving out of the projects, away from the neighbors like Florida, James, and JJ. I don't hear nobody. Moving on up to the east side to a deluxe apartment where? Come on, in the sky, ha ha, you know what I'm talking about today. Black folks started moving to the east side because they finally got a piece of the, there you go, somebody. I'm talking about the black church here today. This shift that started happening for the black church in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, I'm calling it a time of pioneering. So again, God kept his eye and continues to keep his eye on the black church, preserving it. But God also is allowing the black church to pioneer. Somebody say pioneer. In the 70s and 80s, thank you, baby. She working with me. Come on, keep talking back to me, baby. Keep talking back to me, amen. So now we have more non-denominational black church as the black church pioneers. We have suburban black churches, amen. We have urban black churches. We got bourgeoisie black churches, amen. We got professional black churches, amen. We got poor black churches. Nowadays, we got word of faith black churches. I don't hear nobody. We got mega black churches, amen. So the black church continues to pioneer. But remember what our scripture text says, that we must put new wine into new wineskins. New wine into old wineskins will cause it to burst, be ruined. So new wine must be put into new wineskins, according to Luke, so that both can be what? Preserved. You know, I remember when I got my first iPhone 3S. Fascinated by its features. It had a cool interface. It still comes on, amen, from 2008. We started learning. Do you remember when you got your first smartphone? I mean, come on, hold up your phones today. Let me see. Y'all got smartphones with you. Come on, this is 2016. Hold up your phones today. Yeah. But go back with me for a moment. Do you remember when you got your first smartphone? Wasn't it just a fascinating moment when you got your first smartphone? Come on, I didn't say check your phone. I just said hold up your phone. Amen. Come on, stay with the sermon. Amen. I'm almost finished. But remember when you got your first smartphone? And it was just this real powerful experience because we learned about all of the new technology and we learned about, all of the applications that could be put on the phone. And we don't even call them applications anymore. What do we call them? There you go. We just get apps now. So I wonder 6 years later, who still carries their iPhone 3S? I mean, really, who still, she like, well, you might, but, I mean, but who still carries their iPhone 3S? I mean, even the older people, everybody, who still carries their iPhone 3S? Well, let me ask you a question. Why not? Come on, let's have a quick dialogue. Why don't you still carry your iPhone 3S? It says it's too old. It's outdated. He said, I got a 6X now, Reverend. What do I need to carry a 3S for? Because I got a 6X. So what is it about your 6S that you like better than your 3S? It can do more. He says pixels. All these new words, pixels. What do you like about, Bishop, what do you like about your 6S now that your 3S didn't have? It talks to me. Got a new friend named Siri. I don't hear nobody. I got a new friend on my phone named Siri. What else is it about your 6S that's different from your 3S? It has more power. It's bigger. It's new. The battery life is longer. It's faster. Well, why can't we just add all of the things you just described onto your old phone? So all of the new wine you got in your new wine skin can't seem to connect with your old wine and your old wine skins. Now, what you just told me is that if you put all of this wine in this wineskin, that this wineskin will then break. But because God didn't want this to break, God just said, well, I'm going to preserve this one, but I'm going to give you this one. Because you want all of the new technology. You want all of the bells and whistles. You want all of the fun new stuff. But here again, but when you look at even the boxes of a 3S and a 6S, Apple decided that it would preserve, Luther, some of the features from the 3S and add them onto the 6S. Because if Apple is in the business of preserving and pioneering, you gotta know that God is in the same business of preserving and pioneering. Now let's see if this illustration can apply to the black church. So as it relates to the black church, as I bring this sermon to a close, you gotta know that God is also in the business of preserving the black church, but God is also ready to pioneer a new black church. I don't hear nobody. You were excited a minute ago about your new iPhone, but can you get excited about the new black churches that God wants to pioneer in this day, in this hour, in this season? If God wants to put all this new stuff in a phone, don't you think God wants to put a bunch of new stuff in the black church? I don't hear nobody. But we around here trying to hold a black church hostage to this 3S phone. Won't let the technology come. won't let the kids sing anything, won't let them do what they want to do, but you somehow think they're going to stay around your grandmother's black church? In their mind, it's obsolete, baby. They looking for the 6X church. They looking for the 6X church. They looking for the 6X church and newer. You cannot do Snapchat on this phone, but you can do it on this phone. You cannot do Periscope on this phone, but you can do it on this phone. And these are the things that they want to do today. So we as black church leaders got to decide if you're going to keep only preserving or if you're going to preserve and pioneer. Come on, put your hands together. See, the black church has core values: education, justice, loving people, speaking truth to power, fellowship, embracing people, helping them find their dignity, personhood, and launching them out into the world to make a difference. Those core values of the black church must be preserved. But let's not be naive to think at the close of the industrial age and the full immersion into the technological age that we're going to somehow keep two generations, post-civil rights generation, attending their grandmother's black church. It's not going to happen. A matter of fact, it's not happening. These young adults are walking away from the church, in the words of the dean, wondering if the black church is obsolete or maybe just not relevant to their everyday lives. If older black churches refuse to create new wineskins, do you think you'll receive new wine? Now, I'm going to leave that for Doug's lecture on tomorrow. Amen. I'm about to close out this sermon. I got some good news for you. Somebody say good news. God is in the business of preserving and pioneering. Amen. God says in the scripture, Isaiah 43:19, remember not the former things of old or consider the things of old, because I will do a new thing. Somebody say a new thing. And there's new wine all around us, church. God is in the preserving and pioneering business. Let me give you a few examples. In the area of transportation, you can still get around on a bicycle, but you can also get around on a hoverboard. Amen. In the area of music, you can still buy a record player, but you can still get music on digital music. Amen. God is in the business of preserving, and he's in the business of pioneering. Amen. Travel in a downtown city. You can still get on a horse and buggy carriage, or you can hop in Uber. I don't hear nobody. Amen. In the area of fine dining, if you want to order Chinese food, you still can do that. Or you can order Blue Apron and have a gourmet meal delivered to your house in a box. Amen. In the area of entertainment, you can watch a 52-inch television or you can watch a 6-inch television. Amen. God is in the business in this world of preserving and pioneering. Amen. In the area of research, you can still look it up in your Encyclopedia Britannica. Amen. But you certainly can Google it a lot faster. Amen. Because God is in the business of preserving and God is in the business of pioneering. When we sing today as a close, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Come on, somebody. How great thou art. How great thou art. So my Savior. Come on, stand with me. To thee. Come on, how great thou art. Thou art. How great thou art. But because God is in the business of pioneering, we can then sing, how great is our God. Come on, sing. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Come on, sing with me one more time. How great is our God? How great is our God? Come on, sing with me. Sing with me. How great is our God? And all the sea, how great, come on, he's the name above all names, our God. Name above all names. A name above all names. Come on, how many know he's worthy? He is worthy to all praise. And my heart will sing, and my heart will sing. How great is our God. Come on, one more time. Name above all names. The name above all names. my heart will sing, how great is our God. The Black Church, preserving and pioneering. Let's embrace this opportunity to receive new wine for our new wineskins. Amen. Let all God's people say together, amen, amen, and amen.